Welcome to the Third Generation Networking Podcast with your hosts, Debbie and Greg Peters. Hello, networkers, and welcome back to another episode of the Third Generation Networking Podcast. I'm Greg Peters, a reluctant networker and occasional tech support super guru. With me, of course, is my co-host, Debbie Peters, the networking guru, my business partner who's stepping back, and of course, my mom.
I'm the minor business partner now.
No, you will never be minor. I think that your spirit will always infuse everything we do. So
it's so funny because so many people that I'm talking to are like, we miss you. And you know, I'm like, I'm not going away. I'm not dying. I'm still around, you know.
You can still network with me.
You can still network.
I mean, it was a couple of weeks ago now. I spoke at the Mommy Chamber. And you were right there. I mean,
yeah.
And I'm sure, while I couldn't obviously see your private chats, I'm sure there were a lot of private chats going on with people, weren't there?
Yeah, I've been known to use the chat box. I get in trouble because I use it so much, but that's all right. It's another story.
That's a whole different issue. We covered that back in our episode on successful remote networking.
So, there's probably going to be an organization in the future called Chatbox Anonymous.
Chatbox. I'm Debbie Peters and I use the Chatbox. All right. So last time we talked about what we could expect or what we can do with the different levels of networking relationships. That was based off of our original conversation of the art of networking. This time we're going to be talking a little bit more about how we present ourselves in a networking venue, ourselves and what we do. And this came from a question from our good friend, Matt Sherwood. How do you create a value proposition that stands out from everyone else? This is really important, I feel, based on the fact that these buyers, both corporate and government, hear the same things over and over. What key factors should I concentrate on when speaking to that buyer?
What the heck is a value proposition?
I think, it's basically, what benefit do you actually bring to those you serve?
So you mean when someone asks you what you do, what the answer is? Is that what?
Yeah, basically what the answer is.
All right, we have to keep it simple for Debbie.
Come on, Mom. You've been doing this for a few years. I think you know all the words. But this touches very briefly, and try to control yourself, Mom. There's sort of that misconception out there, and there are many networking programs that I know both of us have seen where the heavy focus is on the, okay, take it easy, elevator pitch.
Let me get my brown bag that I can throw up in.
I know.
So what's vision? Let's envision what that entails. You're in the elevator with someone and you are now throwing up all over them, telling them how wonderful you are and what you can do for them. And in the meantime, the person that's riding with you, you have their head in a headlock, you know, making them listen to you. And why would they want to listen to you? First of all, because that headlock is horrible. Yes. Second of all, you're boring.
Well, I mean, and really, I mean, okay. The whole idea of the elevator pitch, I've always hated that concept because, first of all, it was never meant for this purpose anyway. It was the whole idea was, if you found yourself in an elevator with a venture capitalist, how long, yes, if you could tell what you do of your business from the time it took to go from ground floor to wherever you were going, that was the whole idea behind it. It was never meant to be, how do you carry out conversations at a networking event? It is a commercial. I'm sorry. That's all it is. And we as a society, unless you're watching the Super Bowl, have been trained to ignore commercials. Think about it. When you're out driving, how many billboards do you remember? We largely ignore anything that's intrusive like that. And so let's not do that, because first of all, as soon as people hear it, there are key words that they go, I'm done. I don't even listen to you anymore.
Well, and to go back to the billboard, it's really interesting because the ones that are different and interesting and clear and concise are the ones I remember or that have something that triggers something in my brain. And I can give you an example. Julie Span Johnson is a State Farm insurance representative here in Perrysburg, Ohio. And she has had a billboard on the road that goes out to my house for several years now. Just recently, it was updated. And Julie's old picture was adorable and cute. She had short hair and it was kind of her normal brown color. Well, now her picture, she has long hair. It's really, really gorgeous. And it's blonde.
Oh.
and the billboard hasn't changed. You know, it's red. It's the State Farm color and everything. But the fact that it's different, it stands out. And so, in fact, I made a note to myself that I've got to reach out to Julie and tell her how much her billboard, you know, it really is attractive. And is, I'm sure it's making people look at it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, and I think that underscores is we need to be different from everyone mm-hmm. else. We can't just, well, okay. A little bit, you know, we talk, when someone asks you what you do, we've all, I mean, you've heard the trigger that, you know, okay, I'm
going to.
They do those cutesy things where like they you know, I make children smile, which is just creepy on the, you know, when there's a guy's an orthodontist or a dentist or whatever. It's like, whenever someone does that to me, I feel like they're trying to manipulate me. And that really irritates me.
Well, from our, podcast last week, it's got an icky factor in it.
It's got an ickiness factor. It really does. When someone tries to do that, it feels manipulative. And no one likes to feel they're being manipulated. So one, don't do that. It's not conversational, and it feels weird. It really does. There's an ickiness factor to it. You can be having this nice conversation, just talking about, you know, oh, how wonderful the day is. Or, by the way, could you tell me a little bit more about what you do? I make children smile. No, I'm sorry. You've just broken that whole conversational flow because of you're trying to be cutesy. So
I agree. And I've gotten that same response before. And the theory behind it is that, you know, obviously you have to ask a question if you've gotten that answer. Well, how do you make them smile? And again, I agree with you. It's just bleh. So, and you used one word that was really important, and that's conversational. So you want to have that value proposition that you can give in one sentence with a period at the end and no commas in that sentence. And I know you have a length of time that you say.
I say you should be able to tell someone what you do in between 7 to 10 seconds.
Yeah, and the attention span of the adult person in the world has become shorter and shorter and shorter. I think the attention span is now 2 seconds. So it's, you're really it's pushing it.
Really short. And honestly, especially if it's a first meeting, they you doing that, keep it short, keep it simple.
Yeah.
Hope that they, you know, if they remember that we train people on networking, I'm yeah. happy. You know, yeah. if they just remember business training of some kind, I'm happy for a first meeting. That's really all you can ask for.
Yeah. And the secret after you give that, and we can come back to that a little bit more, but the secret after you give that quick one sentence that easily can clearly and concisely gives a foundation piece of what you do.
Yeah.
Then your next out of your mouth is, so tell me a little bit about you.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you want to get them talking.
Really now I understand that, you know, what Matt's talking about is a very, it again, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, is that he may be talking about in a more structured meet and greet style where there is a buyer on one side of the table and you're the potential vendor. But even, well, especially with that, you're not, don't go cutesy with that. I mean, you're really, that would be the really wrong way to go.
So what you're saying is it's kind of a cross between speed networking and a general networking session.
Yeah, that would be a perfect example of that. You know, you've got probably 10 minutes or so in front of that person, 5 to 10 minutes. So it's a fair amount of time. So the more important thing is, okay, yes, convey what you do. You can have the so-called value proposition, you know, the I work with blank.
Veterans. Well, he works with veterans, right? Well,
he works with veterans, but, you know, the veteran-owned business. I work with, executive directors of marketing in T tier two auto suppliers, so that they can, or who want this, so that they can this. And, you know, it's very short, very simple. I work with executive directors of a professional association who want their members to be better connected through networking so that they can have more membership loyalty. There, it's done. Tell me a little bit more about what you are working on right now.
Yeah.
Keep it short, keep it simple.
Yeah.
If it
well, goes- and I think about it when, for example, the Mommy Chamber that you presented at not too long ago and did a great job, by the way.
Well, thank you.
and it was virtual, which I think is really a challenge to, and I heard that of the 68 people in attendance, no one left, no one checked out while except you were speaking. Got
apparently disconnected inadvertently.
So before you got to speak, one of the steps or one of the pieces of the agenda is that those people who want to limit it to 10, and I think there were only 7 that day, get an opportunity to do a 30-second commercial.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm telling stories now out of maybe I shouldn't be. Do I remember anything that anyone said for those 30 seconds or even who gave them?
I remember the one from the zoo talking about their wine tasting.
Okay.
So I do remember one of them quite clearly. I don't remember her name, but I'm not as connected with that.
Yeah.
That particular, but it was, I mean, let's face it, it's the zoo. So that's kind of cool right off the top. And it's a wine tasting at the zoo. That was unusual. It stood out because it was an unusual situation there.
So it was unique.
It was very unique. Yeah.
Okay. And I have been the biggest probably breaker of this rule when I didn't give a 30 second, but I've given a 30 second. Although I think I try to make it be a little different. But if you just get up and say, this is blah, 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 and this is blah, 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 then no one's going to remember it. Mm-hmm. Or at least I won't remember it. So this, you can think of this in many different ways that we have to. And in fact, she might have gotten my attention better by saying, what does wine and the zoo, or what does the zoo and wine have to do with each other? You could be the way you started.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. So if someone says, what do you do? And you can say, well, let me tell you, I help people to understand how the zoo and wine have something in common. It doesn't feel icky.
No.
It's kind of humorous.
Well, and we also have to kind of distinguish between, okay, you've got a 30-second commercial. Right. Really, that's what it is. It's a commercial or a marketing piece at a where you're actually getting up and saying things in front of a group. Versus if you're one-on-one with someone where it really has got to be, what do you do for a living? This is what I do. Tell me a little bit more about what you're working on right now. I mean, that's got to be a conversation. When you're up in front of someone, you need to be memorable so that, you know, what was going to make you stand out a little bit? What's going to make you distinguish? It's going to be, I mean, we talked about this in some of the, it might be a very brief story about something that you've been working on recently. It might be, I don't know, some interesting statistic that you know, I work with these associations and other business groups. I mean, they're really having a hard time right now because they're having only like 50% of their participants are showing up for these events, and they're starting to lose membership. I mean, that's where I'm going. But that's a little snippet that can interest people and excite them and might even trigger some ideas in their head.
Yeah. So you want to think about your audience, and you want to think about what am I doing today that I can, the audience doesn't necessarily have to be a lot. It could be one person. So who is your person that you're speaking at or the group that you're speaking at? So it's got to be something that will catch their attention. And we talk about this in the class when we talk about teaching people to develop their why they do what they do. Which is a whole nother story.
Well, and we kind of touch on that when we do our mini programs. We've got our, in fact, we got one coming up on March 10th. We'll be doing one of the mini programs where we actually break it out and say, how can you get that emotional flavor into your why you do what you do?
But I mean, let's go back to the zoo example that you said. If you're sitting across from someone who says, you know, tell me what you do. I mean, the answer could be, so I help people with to think about the zoo in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways is, you know, we've got a program coming up that will put wine and the zoo together. Tell me what you're doing then. And you can bet after they get done telling you what they're doing, that they're going to come back to that. Now, wait a minute. What about the wine in the zoo?
Wine in the zoo. So, tell me about that.
So I think you can use the same concept, whether you're in front of one person or in front of a group. And ouch, the kitty is not being
helpful. I was going to say, you're getting a little help there from the kitty.
Yes. The 30, you know, if you have 10 seconds, obviously you're going to ask the question, you know, tell me about what you're doing after 10 seconds. If you have 30 seconds and you're in front of a group, you may not be asking the question, or you could at the end of your 30 second commercial, you could say, I wonder how wine and the zoo resonates with you. Let me know, you know, if you have any questions.
And that was actually, Grace Burkett.
Okay.
With the Toledo Zoo. So.
All right. Yeah.
Good job, Grace.
Yeah. I think I was so busy on the chat box being a bad girl.
You probably were.
That I may not have listened to the 30-second commercials. Bad girl, bad girl.
Bad girl, bad girl. Okay. We've kind of ranged far and wide because there's really no clean answer to this. I mean, a lot depends on what the particular circumstances are. If you're at a mixer or you're at a one-on-one you're part of a chamber gathering where you're doing small groups, keep it conversational, keep it short. If they remember even the smallest piece of what you said, great, because really it's the conversations you have later, which is going to cement them in your mind.
Yes.
Or you.
Well, and I think that's the most important point to make is your value proposition is not going to get you anything today.
Right.
It's going to get you a connection. And hopefully you can say, you know what, I'd love to chat further. Can we schedule time? And yeah. I know in the corporate world that may be slightly different, that, you know, people don't have as much, at least they say they don't have as much time that they can do this, but maybe there's someone else that they can introduce you to that does have that time.
Well, and then when you have a situation where you are, for lack of better words, it is a commercial opportunity, then it's still not going to be your sales pitch. It's going to be tell them a little bit of a story, tell them a little something interesting that's going to stand out from everything else. You know, pick out a detail. This whole alcohol at the zoo. I mean, wine tasting at the zoo. I mean, that stood out because it was something a little different, a little unexpected. Statistics that are going to stick in someone's mind. You know, half of the people. You know, membership is down 15%. That's something that's going to stick into their minds. So with those two different mechanisms, we still have to remember who are the audiences and keep it away from the elevator pitch.
Yeah. Well, I can go back. I speak once a year, I think it is, for Tom Daniels, who's a professor at Bowling Green State University. Okay. For his MBA class, who are young students, and many of them are international students. They're not the people who are already, well, some of them have jobs, but I mean, not in the workforce now getting their executive MBA. This is the junior MBA, I guess. And usually I speak to them, and within a couple of weeks, they're going to be going to a job fair. So that's why Tom has me come in and speak. And they have all been educated and told by the people at the university that you need to have basically an elevator pitch. And then I come in and I ruin it by telling them, okay, you do need to have your resume with you, but please do not just, you know, throw it out to begin with. You do have to be able to say, hi, I'm, you know, June Smith, and I am in the MBA class. My major is business, whatever that is. Give those quick details. And then I said, you need to begin asking questions about the company. The person that's standing there representing the company, maybe ask them what they like about being a working at that company. Find out. Maybe you don't even want to work with this company in the end, but this is your opportunity to find out. and to use this person as a piece of, or a conduit into more information that you can have. And they're like, but I'm supposed to talk about myself. I'm like, I know, but let me tell you, if you get them involved, they're going to remember you.
Right. And that's really the, with these initial meetings, it's more important that as a result of the conversation, they remember you, and they're more likely to remember you if they are part of the conversation. So,
yes.
All right. Well, I think we've ranged far afield with.
Yes, we have.
How do you present yourself?
And Callie is sitting here looking at the, we're on Zoom, and she's looking at the screen, ready to pounce if she's doing anything.
Yeah. Well, and I've got a cat that's scratching at my door right now. But she wants to come in and be a part of the conversation too. So
yeah.
We probably, at this point, had better close out before the feline contingent shuts us down anyway.
Yeah.
So next time we're going to be talking about something a little different, where we're going to be talking about how you use networking in your personal life, because it's not always about the bottom line and finding new clients and new contracts. There are benefits that we gain as a result of networking for every aspect of our lives. So we'll be talking a little bit about that. Thank you for tuning in to the program today. I do hope you enjoyed it. If you found some value, please do pass it along to anyone you think you could that they could use it. We do come back every week. Please subscribe, because that way we won't miss you. You know what? I think that's about it. comments. Yes, I'm supposed to say something. This is how you tell that it is not pre-recorded. Okay. comments will be on our Facebook pages. The information will be in the episode guide. You know what? Hey, until next time, go out and make some great connections. Talk to you soon, Mom.
All right, Greg. Bye. See ya. Bye.
You've been listening to the Third Generation Networking Podcast with your hosts, Greg and Debbie Peters. If you'd like to learn more about our new virtual training programs, go to connextnation.com.